Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game time decision. The baseball preview that you have been waiting for. I know it might seem early, but I don't work Wednesdays. And on Thursday, one, there's no game time decisions. Bracket Central live from the city. And two, those games start at 1 o'clock anyway. Probably 3 o'clock. Sorry, folks, that were looking to get to Mets opening day on Thursday. So today on the show, we will go through it all. World Series, MVPs, season-long player props, season-long win totals. Not just myself, Tom Vecchio, Joe Piscopia, Donnie Wrightside, and Craig Mish all stop by, as well as, of course, Dave Sharapan for one final scan of the market, which means in this open, we got to make sure we touch base with everything else on tonight's board. We'll open this up with some NFL news. Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys. Basically making it clear that sooner than later, Dak and Dallas will be no more. What are we doing? I mean, really, how many people have to enter this season in Dallas knowing they're on the hot seat before we just realize that this team shouldn't be booked as a divisional favorite in the NFC East? Factor in, nobody repeats in the thing. That is, at the moment, a market that looks soft. It looks like the Eagles should be in front of Dallas. The notion that Dak or McCarthy will have a fire lit under them, nonsense. That fire has always been there. Dallas has always been big-time winner bust. Get back to that NFC title game. They cannot do it, and this is only going to make it worse. I do not like the vibes around the Cowboys. You can say it's March. That's fine. Does anybody think this is going to get better before it gets worse? I highly, highly doubt it. Let's get our radio audience in the fold. Sirius XM, Channel 159. Kevin Walsh with you here on Sports Grid. It is a Tuesday night and is our baseball preview. But if we open this up, there are, of course, other items to dive into. Your NBA card. It's only four games long, but it's a great one. Golden State and Miami. The Warriors trying to hold off the Houston Rockets from supplanting them for that final spot in the play-in. Golden State is desperate, but Miami is trying to catch the Orlando Magic at the moment. And if they can, that is going to shift those Eastern Conference playoffs quite a bit. A lot being played for here. Lakers and Milwaukee, a Giannis AD 25-plus boost at 2-1 looks worth your time. Dallas and Sacramento, the Mavs trying to push up to the sixth seed, which looks especially valuable this year. On one end, it keeps you out of the play-in. And perhaps more importantly, it could draw you the Minnesota Timberwolves. And it's not about the Timberwolves being fade material. It's about the injury to Karl-Anthony Towns, which leaves Minnesota less than and obviously more vulnerable in that series. OKC and New Orleans do battle with the Thunder, a slight one-point road favorite. SGA top point score at minus 130 or the over 29.5 at around minus 105 look like sizzle plays in that game. Bounce back spot big time for SGA. Let's shoot this over to the NHL card. I mentioned Tom Vecchio will be here. We'll ask him if there's anything on the ice that he likes. But again, we're hitting these baseball futures. Edmonton and Winnipeg. I would argue argue is the best game on this board. Some would probably prefer Boston and Florida, the Panthers trying to handle the Bruins. Always good to see Colorado in action there. People keeping tabs on if Nathan MacKinnon can secure a point in every home game this season. We talked with Joe Maddon yesterday. That number right now listed at plus 300. We'll bring up the Sweet 16 because, of course, it is still the NCAA's tournament time of year. As I mentioned, on Thursday, Bracket Central is live from New York City. Ben Stevens, Coach James Young, I believe Mike Blewett, potentially in the fold as well. Myself, Donnie, and Coach are back at it Friday night here in New Jersey, getting you set for what will be another round of Sweet 16 action. If you look at some of the storylines that are starting to appear, Duke believers starting to unfold a little bit with that 4.5-point number with Houston. And I feel as if perhaps some Clemson belief coming through as well. This line here at the bottom of that West region, the winner would see, of course, the winner of North Carolina and Alabama. Let's waste no time because the quick pick is going to be my World Series pick. So let's put eyes on the odds to win the World Series. And of course, Ohtani, Mookie, Freddie, Glasnow, Yamamoto, you get it. It's why they're plus 320, the shortest number on the board for the LA Dodgers. The Braves are plus 450. The gap between these teams and everybody else is understandable. The best rosters, the consistent pedigree, the high team totals, when we talk win totals, superstars, MVP winners, Cy Young winners, they have it all. But how do we feel about the buys? Because last year, when we were watching the NLCS, after watching an entire season of the Braves and the Dodgers being better than everybody else in the National League, we were watching Phillies Diamondbacks. And that is something that would keep me off any of these numbers between LA and Atlanta. I can't get there, not at that short of a price. Because how much value are you going to get if one of those teams wins 110 games? Are they going to be picked to win the World Series? No. It'll be a bit shorter, but not enough. So I had to steer clear of those teams. You then have the Astros and the Yankees rounding out the group that's underneath 14-1, underneath 10-1. I do think the Astros are the best in the AL West. I wouldn't hate a play on their division at a minus price. I don't like the Rangers as much. We'll talk about their win total in a moment. I know there's a lot of love from the Seattle Mariners. We'll talk to Joe Pisapia about that ball club and their stars a little bit later. I don't know if their offense has enough punch. While this Mariners rotation is incredible, the Astros always have pitching. So I just... is it going to be enough to get through for Seattle? We shall see. The team that I'm going to bet is right here in the middle with the Baltimore Orioles at 14-1. Now, this for me has there's a few things that we can do with this number, and that's going to be the quick pick again, the Orioles to win the World Series. First of all, they have two Cy Young candidates and two MVP candidates, and there's not a lot of teams that's true of. But with acquiring Corbin Burns and pairing him with Grayson Rodriguez, legitimately two guys that could take down the Cy Young, what that really means is when we get to the playoffs, you trust that front-end rotation. The Mariners are phenomenal. Are you sure you prefer Castillo and a lot of people will go back and forth, right, if it's Gilbert as their second starter there for that baseball team, more though than Burns and Rodriguez? I'm not so sure. And I think Adley Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson are both legit MVP candidates, especially Gunnar Henderson, tied for the seventh best odds in the American League's MVP market. They checked those boxes. If this team...
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location. Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
Team gets in, they don't win the AL East, that's fine. We just talked about it. The buys haven't been that valuable. But if this team is as good as they were last year, a 100-win baseball team, this number will be cut in half, if not more. The books will have no choice but to believe if they do it again. We have a lot to get to. Baseball futures keep flying next on Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. Game Time Decisions. It is a Tuesday night. It is the Baseball Futures Show. World Series picks already on the board. Baltimore Orioles, 14-1. We have four win totals. Two MVPs, one in each league, four season-long player props straight, and then some plus money opportunities in the players market as well. We'll get to those players in hour number two. Let's make sure we fly through these win totals. My favorite of the bunch, the Atlanta Braves, under 101.5. The Braves are awesome. They are incredible. Last year's win total, 96.5. Why do we have five wins? For Chris Sale. It's an overreaction. They were incredible last year. 104 wins. They didn't fly past this number. Notably, despite everyone it felt like having career years, Ronald Acuna Jr. can repeat as NL MVP and not have as good of a season as he did last year. That's the best you'll probably ever see from him, because that was a all-time great season from Acuna Jr. Matt Olson had the best year of his career. Marcelo Zuna was the best he's been since 2017. Ozzie Albies is the best ball of his career. Austin Riley, admittedly, probably still has another level to go. If you wanted to sprinkle on an NL MVP, I don't hate it. But this is one of those teams that if they just see guys go from the very best version of themselves to still an all-star, we get this under. And I also think you take a look at this National League East, and there's juice on all of these clubs. Yes, I'm looking at you, Washington Nationals. I don't hate that baseball team. I don't. The Miami Marlins have pitching. The Mets have hitting. And the Philadelphia Phillies have more pitching than they've had in recent seasons. I trust that rotation a bit more. And I think that lineup, with a full year of Trey Turner being great and a full season of Bryce Harper being excellent, could surprise. And I'm not here fading them to win this division, because they could go under this number and still win that division. I wouldn't pay the price that it is, but 101.5 is too high. This is also a team that was incredibly healthy last year. Acuna Jr., Olsen, and Riley playing what all but six possible games combined between the three of them. It's one of those situations where it's just how it levels out. It's why so often win totals of this nature go under. A lot of people like that Dodgers under, just trying to sell high. And I get it. Good start in the Seoul Series. A 1-1 split, you'll take that every time. I'm doing the same thing here with the Atlanta Braves. Under 101.5. It's a lot of unders here. And the next is the World Series champs, the Texas Rangers. An 82.5 is up to an 88.5. You want to bump a team for winning a World Series? I got you. If you tell me that DeGrom and Scherzer are the best 1-2 punch in baseball, I'd question that due to age and injury concerns. But just know that that wouldn't be relevant until summer. Neither one of them are healthy right now. So this is not the team that you'll be betting on come October. Not close to it. And I know that everybody loves the rookies in Wyatt Langford and Evan Carter. But forgive me if I'm hesitant on both of them hitting. Consider that Langford under 24.5 home run prop. Consider Evan Carter's under 15.5 home run prop as well. And if one hits, the other could miss. It's just how it goes at times for rookies. These guys can stumble out of the gates. And if you look at that lineup, Corey Seager is a lock all-star. Is anybody else? I mean, Adolis Garcia has a ceiling. Langford has a ceiling. Semien, maybe. But realistically, I look at that and there's one bankable pure all-star in that lineup, and it's going to be Corey Seager. But beyond that, I have questions. And if the Astros remain their dominant self, and the Astros probably have a little bit of a bounce back in them, and if the Mariners deliver on everything that people anticipate, that's going to take wins away from the Texas Rangers. I'm playing them under 88.5. I'm also playing the Royals under their listed win total at 74.5. This one with some controversy in the room. People like Kansas City, and I get it. There is plenty to like about this baseball team. You know, I talk about betting the Orioles to win a World Series because they have multiple Cy Young candidates and multiple MVP candidates. Well, the Kansas City Royals checked that box in a half. They have an MVP candidate in Bobby Witt. They got a Cy Young candidate in Cole Reagans. No doubt about it. But this is a team whose win total last year was 68.5. They ended up winning 56 games. And now we have a win total checking in at 74.5. So they went under the win total by 12, and they upped the win total by 6. I know they made a lot of additions this offseason. I understand that Bobby Witt has another level he could probably get to. Well, he's going to need to. This team's going to have to add about 20 wins year over year in order to get to 74.5. And if you, by the way, because if you're playing a win total over, you usually like a team to get through it a bit more comfortably. Let's put this team at 81 wins. That's 25 wins we're tacking on here, if not more. Am I doing the math correct off the top of the head? I think I am. 25 wins. That is a ton of wins. Make sure you pair those Royals win totals with that Bobby Witt AL MVP price, because you're going to need him right in the thick of that thing and then some, most likely. The last one's going to sound a bit odd. It's one of a kind. When we do NFL win totals, we go through full schedules, right? Because we can. There's 17 games there. Imagine I sat here and just went through those team schedules. You can't do it. Because at the end of the day, over a buck 62, it's not how it works. But if I isolate it to the end of April, it's a little different. If I take a team's first 30 games, it's a little different. And I'm going to fade the Milwaukee Brewers over their first 30 games. A DraftKings market record at the end of April, I'm going under 13.5 wins for the Milwaukee Brewers. They just lost Devin Williams, arguably the best closer in baseball. And when you consider how Milwaukee wants to win, close games, get it to the bullpen, that's a nightmare. Because everybody else is worse automatically. Now your 9 guys worse, your 8 inning guys worse, your 7th inning guy is worse. Because you had to drop everybody down to fill in for Devin Williams. And this is the key. Devin Williams will be back at some point. It's going to be a while. But he won't play any of these games. So I'm getting a full Devin Williams absence here on this under 13.5. And I also get to take advantage of this team's beginning games without Craig Counsell. You know, I ain't considered a Cubs 35-1 World Series ticket. I considered it. I couldn't get there. Number wasn't long enough, admittedly. But part of that is Craig Counsell, who's been incredible during his time in Milwaukee. He's made the playoffs in 5 of the last 6 years. Now they're without Counsell. So if there's going to be any stumbling out of the opening blocks there, that's the exact time to attack. But now I mention the schedule. Here are the opening series that exist inside this window. You tell me how many you believe the Milwaukee Brewers would be favored in. At the Mets for 3 games. I don't think so. Home against the Twins. Don't think so. For 2. Home against the Mariners for 3. Certainly not. At the Reds for 4. No. At the Orioles for 3. No. At the Cardinals for 3. No. Home against the Padres for 3. Maybe. Probably not. At the Pirates for 4. A split. Home against the Yanks for 3. No. Home against the Rays for 2 of a 3-game series inside this window. This is going to be an under 13.5. This team will be lucky to put 10 wins up on the board to open up their season. We are running against the break here, though, on Game Time Decisions. We're going to still go through all these wagers. Okay, we're going to talk some MVPs. I'm going to see what Tom Vecchio thinks about these markets here, see if there's any value for him. You know, Tom last year had some great season-long bets on players, and I'm sure he's going to have those same type of wagers heading into this season. Mentioned it already, we're going to talk to Joe Piscopia. Two teams he's very high on, the Seattle Mariners and the Atlanta Braves. Excited to get his thoughts on those ball clubs. Excited to talk to Donnie Wrightside. I'll tell you right now, nobody better. Nobody better day-to-day betting Major League Baseball, getting those lineups up and being able to knock it down. Consistently DRS provides, and he'll be able to do that all season long on the early line. So this is a situation where we've got a lot loaded up for you here tonight, and I'm excited to go through it all. Now, admittedly, I'm frozen, and that's all I know. And I'm going to guess we're running up against the break pretty soon. But if I'm at any point vanishing, just know we're going to be back and continuing to break down what we've got going on here on Sports Grid, on Game Time Decisions, live on a Tuesday night, talking Major League Baseball with you here on GTD.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're live on Sports Grid's Game Time Decisions. We're with you on a Tuesday, hitting our Major League Baseball preview show because the next time I'm with you, I really won't even be allowed to talk baseball because it'll be a Friday night bracket central, and that's a crime. Tom Vecchio, one of the best, who will be with us throughout this baseball season. Tom, appreciate you joining us here on this Tuesday.
Thanks for having me. Baseball season's around the corner. I have some interesting takes on some players. I know you have a few futures out there in terms of the MVP market. I'm ready to go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to rip through those after, though, we talk through some of your guys here. And you have some pitcher props that you're playing towards the under, both in the strikeout market here. One will hit close to home. Somebody from this Yankee staff that you're fading.
Yeah, that's going to be Nestor Cortez under 139.5 strikeouts for the entire season. And, you know, he said it hits close to home. I am a Yankees fan as well. But we want to look at, like, things just as objectively as possible. And last year, he obviously wasn't healthy. He only pitched 63 innings, and he had 67 strikeouts, which is good. Year before that, 163 strikeouts and 158 innings. He's a mid-20s pitcher in terms of strikeout, mid-20s, 25.6, somewhere around there. Ultimately, the health combined with the fact that he isn't a super dominant pitcher on the mound is really what I'm focusing in on. I'm also trying to add in a little bit of the fact that, you know, Gerrit Cole isn't healthy. Like, what happens if Cortez runs into the slightest bit of an issue? I have a feeling that they're going to try and pull him back so not to strain their staff overall. And ultimately, he misses a few starts. That throws off the projection massively. And, you know, a pitcher that's going to be averaging 5-6 strikeouts, he's never going to be pushing to 9 or 10 on a nightly basis like Strider or someone else, or Glasnow. He's a 5-6 kind of pitcher strikeout per night. So I'm not just super confident in him or the team overall this year.
I had a feeling that the injuries would be mentioned at some point during the breakdown, because it was one of those things where anywhere you go to listen to kind of just some of the baseball stuff, when it comes to pitchers, there's always the, if he stays healthy. Like, I, because I'm a fool, have bets on Byron Buxton and Mike Trout I'll get to, right? And those, of course, just don't do that, Tom. But I know what I'm getting myself into. When you bet a pitcher, it's the same situation whether they have the injury history or not. It's just the nature of the position.
Right.
And it's what's created a lot of hesitancy for me on pitcher-related markets. I have one pitcher prop. We'll get to it. And it's an under, you know, and it's why I pulled back. I still might end up betting the Yamamoto Rookie of the Year thing. We'll talk about it in a moment. There's another, though, high-end guy that you're fading, Tom. Tell us why.
Yeah, that's Zach Gallen, under 192.5 strikeouts. I think Gallen's a phenomenal pitcher, but if we, like, dig into just a little bit, you know, last year I'm going to say was a career year for him. Like, that was his ceiling outcome. We had 220 strikeouts and 210 innings. We look at his strikeout rate. It was 26.6, 26.9, and then 26 last season. So it is slightly trending down. He had a 14.3% strikeout rate in spring training, which obviously a super small sample size. We have to take with a grain of salt. The problem I'm looking at when I get to Gallen is he has to be exactly as efficient as he was last year while pushing to essentially 200 innings this year, which I don't think is going to be happening for Gallen. They have a stronger pitching staff. And again, I think they want to scale him back for him to be ready for the playoffs, to think like a spot that they can get to again. Right, they don't need to push him in order to make the playoffs. They should have the stability to say, we are in the playoffs. He doesn't need to go out there for seven innings every night. We can kind of scale him back. So if he's the slightest bit inefficient with the strikeout rate trending down as we saw the past few seasons, this is going to be razor thin for him to hit 193 strikeouts. And again, factor in one missed start because of an injury, I'll simply take the under.
And this is, to me, I didn't love the Diamondbacks based on what I was looking through here. I didn't fall in love with the Giants either, which I know people have. I got tempted by the Padres. I pulled back. I think the National League as a whole is so fascinating because you have those two top dogs, and then it could just be open season.
Yeah.
And I know if it's open season, that means it's the Phillies and then whoever else takes advantage, because this is what the Phillies, apparently do. But, man, like, if Gallen isn't Gallen, that Diamondbacks team looks way, way different. And I think that it's ironically enough, and I know the Diamondbacks put that run together, Tom, they're not that dissimilar from the Royals, right? Bobby Witt, Corbin Carroll, and then Reagans and Gallen. There's other differences there, but in terms of what gets people to buy into a Diamondbacks ball club is Gallen and Carroll as a starting point there, and that's where the Royals are at. It just makes for an interesting situation. Let's talk about the Royals, and let's talk about Bobby Witt Jr., because everybody tells me the guy's a superstar. And the numbers certainly suggest it. How are you looking back, Bobby Witt?
Yeah, that's Bobby Witt to lead the league in hits this year at 18-1. Last year, I nailed Matt Olson at 28-1 to lead the league in home runs. So I'm trying to run it back this year with a little bit of a safer option. I guess hits are that much easier. Last season, he had a 17.4% strikeout rate, which is awesome. He did have a 218 ISO, which is obviously great, but you know the power is not necessarily something we need to be looking at. His ex-WOBA, his ex-batting average, ex-slugging, we're all in the 91st percentile or higher. He needs to cut down a little bit on his chasing pitches. He's projected, when you look on Fangraphs, whether you look at Steamer or Zips or the bat, he's projected to have about 171, 172 hits. That puts him within their season-long standings and projections, puts him about 4th, 5th, 6th, depending on what you're looking at. So I like to look at that, and then let's say we apply 10% variance to it on the upside. That puts him at about 187 hits, which would put him in third if we look back to last year's standings. And if he can push past that to get to close to 200 hits, that should put him in contention for the league lead. So Bobby Witt to lead the league in hits at 18-1.
So, look, I like the look, certainly wouldn't fade it, but I want to take this then to ask you about the guy that I'm right now betting to win AL MVP. That's Vladdy Jr. And through the projections that I look through, you know, as many as I can, he seems pretty comfortably he'll be top five in hits in the American League this season.
Right.
And we know Vladdy can bring a big power bump, and he's been very durable as a member of the Blue Jays. And I thought that 21-1, 22-1 price was worth it. You know, a guy in front of him like Mike Trout, who, again, I know I'm high on Trout, but we think about, you know, viability in this market. You'd probably rather hold Vladdy. Yordan Alvarez might be the single best hitter in baseball. I worry about a DH ever taking down this award. And it's just those simple things that I looked at it, and I thought Vladdy presented some value here. Let's not forget, if it wasn't for Ohtani, who is an outlier, once-in-a-lifetime player, Vladdy would have won this award 3 years ago. And if Vladdy Jr. had won this award as recently as 3 years, he would not be this number. So I think there's value on him at 22-1, Tom, to win American League MVP.
Yeah, ultimately, I'm fine with it. Like, the issue I have with some of these things, like, if another player could match his stats and they also win a gold glove, that player is always going to be considered better, mm-hmm. right? Where, like, I've always made the case that Arenado for, you know, the Cardinals should always be in the MVP conversation because he has awesome offensive stats and he's always going to have that gold glove in his back pocket. So why are we not considering him to be one of the best? So if another player could match what Vladdy does on offense at the plate, but he's also going to be having a gold glove, that's just going to be the default to go to that player that has that extra thing. So I have a tough time backing players. Like you said, Rodon might be the best hitter, but if he's not playing the field, I can't necessarily get behind that.
And I think what's interesting for me, though, right, is that Yordan is more than half the number of Vladdy. So that's why, you know, I went back, not way back. I mean, this isn't a 100-1 ticket, but I went back a bit kind of in it. And I think what's interesting about Arenado is, I don't think it was last year. I think it was 2 years ago, if that's when Goldie won it. You know, Arenado was right there, neck and neck for wins above replacement, and odds-wise was never in the mix. I think the defensive war matters. It helps bump up the overall number, but the counting stats are always still likely going to be what drives this award. And I think, you know, the back of the baseball card for Vladdy Jr. can look as good as anybody in the American League. I want to ask you, Tom, about another American Leaguer that you're betting from the Texas Rangers, and that's Adolis Garcia. What are you looking for here?
That's for over 31.5 home runs. You know, one of my favorite players to watch, he had a massive 263 ISO last year, which is absolutely fantastic. He's been at 31, 27, and then 39 home runs last year. He has an insane amount of power. His baseball savant page is off the chart in terms of barrel rate, contact rate, hard hit rate, exit velocity, you name it. The issue with Garcia is he strikes out a lot, right? Where he swings and misses a ton, but when he makes contact, that ball can go a mile. And I also like to factor in a little bit of what I talked about last year with Matt Olson is Garcia is always going to be in a good spot to hit because that lineup is loaded. So they can never pitch around him because Marcus Semien's on base, Corey Seager's on base, then he comes up a bat and, you know, Evan Carter's behind him, whatever it might be. Like, he's always going to see good pitches. So the power upside for him is so, so clear. And when we have this amount of, like, underlying metrics, if he can cut down on the strikeout instead of being at 27 or 28%, if he can cut that down to 24%, he could push to 40 home runs. So over for Garcia this year.
Are you giving him a chance in the overall home run lead?
He's at 40-1 for that. Like, I don't mind taking a sprinkle on that. And I think if you actually look at that market in reverse, if you think a player can lead the league in home runs, you should just take the over on their home run total because it's not like he's going to lead the league with home runs with 30. So if you're working backwards, that's just an example. I wouldn't go from Garcia to the league lead. I would go from the league lead back to the player I would have interest in. And that might be J-Rod.
You're betting J-Rod?
He's probably one of my longer shots I would go with.
I found J-Rod very interesting. I promise I'm not trying to be hot takey. We're going to talk some J-Rod in a moment here with Joe Pisapia. It's just he had a six-week run where he was untouchable. And outside of that, it was not that great. And if that was the whole beginning wasn't great, Tom, and then he finished amazing, I wouldn't be bringing this up. But he was pitiful all September. And if J-Rod is not the all-star that everybody thinks he's going to be, I think it's interesting to see where the Mariners ultimately land. But we know he's a superstar and projects out as one. Tom, appreciate it. We'll talk a ton of baseball this year. Best of luck.
Yeah, same to you. Can't wait to be here.
All right, awesome stuff. We're going to talk to Joe Pisapia next about Julio Rodriguez, the Mariners, and more next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game Time Decisions continues right here on Sports Grid. Kevin Walsh, you see Joe Piscopia is set to join us here and get you set for the Major League Baseball season. Nobody better. Of course, you can catch Joe on FST as well as the Fantasy Baseball Black Book. He does it for both baseball and football. Joe, I appreciate you making some time for us here.
I'm very excited to be with you, Kevin Walsh. You and I never get to spend any quality time together, so we're going to spend some quality baseball time, cleanse the palate of all this basketball stuff going on, and finally dig deep into opening day.
Yeah, get people excited. The opening day, that Thursday, where people will start betting baseball around noon and then into the college games, that will be a glorious day. But before that, people like to bet futures. And, Joe, I've seen some of the stuff you're on, and it seems like two teams really stand out for you. Let's start in the American League. If you go to that AL MVP market, it's Soto, it's Judge. And for a lot of bettors, that has to be tempting because you have two great hitters on the baseball team, which maybe is my New York bias, but I think that Yankees name still holds weight. But if you're willing to fade either one of them, then you're starting 10-1 or better, and it looks like you are willing to fade Soto and Judge at the top.
Well, look, fantasy is one thing. Awards and wagering and futures is another, right? We're talking about building narratives here. It's not just about stats. So already the Yankees off to a tough start here with the Gerrit Cole injury. Typically, your MVPs come from teams that have really good records. Now, I don't want to sour your excitement about the Yankee season, but Yankees are a very public team. Without Gerrit Cole at the top of that rotation, what does that Yankee rotation really look like? Marcus Stroman doesn't want to take the ball opening day. Carlos Rodon is at an iffy spring at best. The rest of this rotation is very suspect, and I think it's really hard to see the Yankees really pulling away from the pack necessarily in the East because of it. So instead, I'm going to go west. I'm going to go look at Julio Rodriguez because I'm looking at Julio Rodriguez at 10-1 in most spots here as a guy that if you look at him last year, had Ohtani actually been traded like the Angels should have done and recouped all of that assets that they could have actually gone and gotten away with before the injury happened, Julio Rodriguez had a shot to be MVP last year at the end of the year. That's how good he was. If this guy could ever get off to a good start of the season, just an average one instead of a below average, which is what happened the last 2 years, Julio Rodriguez is a guy that could challenge for a, not just 30-30, but we're talking 40-40 kind of potential. He's that good of a player, and I think the Mariners could be just one big bat away from really being the team to beat in the American League altogether because of that rotation. The rotation leads to wins. Wins lead to good publicity, lead to a good narrative, and Julio is one of the bright young stars in the American League.
And what seems to be jumping out now for a lot of people is that ability to provide power and speed. And I think this is just, this is evolution. This is how it works in the NBA and football, and it's happening more in baseball. The guys at the top can do both. And Acuna, who we'll talk more about in a moment here, obviously, we know last year did both at an incredibly high level. But to stick with the Mariners, you mentioned the Cole injury. It really opens things up in that Cy Young race there. And where's your eye in it?
Well, look, when you're looking at the American League Cy Young, I think it is a little bit open for interpretation. You got people who are looking a lot potentially at Corbin Burns. That's a very easy one with Baltimore being as good as they were last year. And we'll see. Maybe Burns is the guy to beat now with Cole on the shelf. But I keep coming back to Seattle. So that's going to be a theme here of what we're doing. And this rotation is so good and so deep, especially at the top where you got George Kirby, who is certainly in this. You're getting great odds on Kirby. But Luis Castillo should not be overlooked. He was quietly, I think, one of the better pitchers last year. Everyone's talking about Gossman's already, and again, another shoulder issue. We're kind of waiting on him. But so many injuries right now. I want the guy that's healthy. And I think there's potential for a guy like Castillo, like I said, to approach that 17-18 win mark, and that would be huge. I know wins are overrated, but it's still something the older voters like to look at. But Luis Castillo, again, you go down George Kirby also. Both those guys, I think, are very much in this mix. And if you go through the rest of this depth of the rotation, it's very good. Logan Gilbert, Brian Wu, who came on strong last year, Bryce Miller, young pitcher. So you look at the five deep that they've got out there. It's very good. Minnesota's got a pretty good rotation too. But when you're starting to look around here, I'm really focusing on Seattle. And I think they've got a great opportunity to pull down a couple of these awards and a couple of the big ones in the American League.
Yeah, again, and if you're willing to, you know, go against the top, it creates value. But again, the top doesn't even exist here. Can I ask you, Joe, what are you expecting from the Gerrit Cole situation? I saw somewhere a 25-1 price on him to win Cy Young. Obviously, would never be near that if he was starting the year. Is it just completely up in the air for one of the most valuable baseball players, really, in this entire sport?
I don't think it's up in the air. I think it's completely off the board for me anyway, because again, how is he going to get to that cumulative? Let's say things go great for once in Major League Baseball with an elbow injury. Things go great. It would be the first time, but it's the first time for everything, Walsh. So maybe that does happen. And if it does happen, okay, that's a tremendous thing, but you're still what? Maybe 1 to 2 months behind everybody else in terms of cumulative stats. Now, Gerrit Cole was tremendous last year. So maybe things do go in a good direction. You never know. Stranger things have happened. But it's not something I'm investing in. I think it's crazy to do that. So personally, I'm out when it comes to Gerrit Cole. And you're already seeing, you know, these pitching injuries before we even get off to the start of the season. We only know there's more to come because it happens every single year.
If we flip it over to the National League, Joe, in the MVP race, it's Acuna Jr. against every Dodger in that lineup. And in the Cy Young race, it's another Brave at the top. That's Spencer Strider. And those seem to be two guys that you're lining up.
They are. And up until a few days ago in this Ohtani scandal nonsense, I was very much in on Ohtani. Now, normally I fade away from teams like the Dodgers who have the multiple stars on it. We really see they cannibalize each other in the voting. That's always a tough one to separate when you have a Freeman, you have a Betts, you have all this talent. So Ohtani, to me, not pitching every fifth day, just focusing on being the stud hitter he is. He has the opportunity to hit 50, 60 home runs, steal 20 bases, be that guy, that larger-than-life presence, and a team that could possibly win 100 games. But all of a sudden, I think, you know, especially because it's a betting situation here, there is going to be a negative with a lot of those old-school voters. You have to remember, it's a media award. And no matter what comes of the press conferences or what comes of investigations, there's going to be this cloud that follows him. So no matter how great he is, I do think it's going to hurt him in the voting. So unfortunately, I am going to come back to Acuna in this. And I think Acuna continues to be that guy in his prime. And we see this often, Kevin. You know, there's those years where it's the Mike Trout years. They were the years where it's the Barry Bonds years, the Roger Clemens years. There's windows where the voting public falls in love with a player until they fall out of love with them. And then they start looking for somebody else to fall in love with. Right now, we're in the Acuna phase of love. And Spencer Strider, it really is whether or not he stays healthy. If he stays healthy, he is going to have a ridiculous amount of strikeouts. You should bet him right now while it's still in plus money to lead the league. If he gets hurt, then it becomes open season. But right now, I am looking very much at Spencer Strider, despite the fact he's the favorite, because it really is Strider and everybody else when it comes to the National League Cy Young right now.
Yeah, Strider, the counting numbers are just almost impossible to compete with. And, you know, Joe can speak to this more than I can, but I've seen things that people say it looks like he might strike out more batters this season based on some of the spring stuff. So, I mean, I can only imagine, Joe, on a day-to-day basis, or not day-to-day, but on a start-to-start basis, what a Spencer Strider strikeout prop's even going to look like. Could we see a double-digit number for this guy?
You could. I think early on, it's going to be really interesting, depending on how deep he goes in the games, the opportunity to ladder bet them. You know, Sim, maybe if you get it at an 8 or 8.5 or something like that, you bet the 9.5, you bet the 10, you bet all the way up to maybe 12 or maybe even 13 some days. There's opportunities when it comes. We were very good with this last year. We had the opportunities on my show on YouTube about ladder betting some of these strikeout props. We crushed it with Gausman on that 14 strikeout night. Last season, I think Strider, there's a lot of those opportunities, but it's going to be early in the season because eventually Vegas will catch up, and eventually it's going to be too higher a number where you start to go the opposite way, where it's probably better to look for the unders because, you know, when you set that number at 11 some nights, I think it's going to be really tough even for him to achieve.
Now, as far as, you know, kind of fading the Dodgers, and all these numbers are very, very short, there's one market that has early caught my attention. I'm still maybe a touch undecided on, but it's NL Rookie of the Year. And it's almost simple. Yamamoto has top five odds to win Cy Young. If he has any chance to do that, he probably wins Rookie of the Year. Yamamoto has a start under the belt as we're having this discussion, and that did not go well. Did that send shivers down the spine? Were you already interested in fading Yamamoto potentially heading into that NL Rookie of the Year race?
Well, to say it didn't go well would be an understatement. And yeah, it has also been the spring of Yamamoto, which also has been a little checkered so far. Instead, there's another Japanese pitcher who has 19 strikeouts so far, just a few walks, and Shoto Imanaga of the Cubs, which, by the way, I think the Cubs should not be overlooked to possibly win the National League Central this year. Getting Cody Bellinger back in this lineup is huge. Imanaga, the left-handed guy at the top of that rotation along with Justin Steele, it's a really good team. The odds on him right now, plus 1,600, are incredible. I'm not saying he's the lock. He's my favorite of the kind of longer shot guys. You know, you can't dismiss guys like Jack Centurio. This is a very special rookie class, though, because you've got some guys who are a little older, like Lee, like Imanaga, like Yamamoto, but you've also got guys on the other end of the spectrum, too. Junior Caminero is going to be up sooner than later. Wyatt Langford led the league in everything this spring. He has been unbelievable so far on the American League side. And then, of course, you've got the Jackson Churios, the Jackson Holidays, the Jackson Merrills, everyone named Jackson. So this could be a rookie class like we haven't seen since the mid-'80s, like in 86, when you had Bonds and Bonilla and Mark McGwire and all those guys and Bo Jackson all in the same class. It was an incredible year for rookies. You could see a generationally good year for them this season. That's how good this class is.
And you mentioned the American League side of it. Wyatt Langford and Evan Carter at the top there. That's always the baseball thing. You get more familiar with a guy, and then all of a sudden he's still eligible to win Rookie of the Year. I'm used to people talking about cannibalization with, like you said, MVP awards, maybe a Cy Young. Rarely do we see two guys from the same team enter the years 1 and 2 in favor to win a market here, Joe.
Very rarely do you see that, but this is one of those cases where, you know, kind of learning this with the Baltimore Orioles, too. Certain organizations are just flush with prospects. I've always been a Langford guy over Carter. Carter's frame worries me, holding up over 162-game season personally. And Wyatt Langford has just crushed everything from NCAA, or maybe even from Little League to NCAA, to all of the minor league levels he just shot through last year. Langford, to me, is a guy, you see it in late drafts, too. He has just skyrocketed up the ADP. And I think from an investment standpoint, it's hard not to like him as the favorite so far going into the year.
Joe, before we let you go, are there one, maybe even two season-long player props that you've found a lot of value on when you kind of project out this season?
Yeah, I think when you're looking far out there, Matt Olson to lead the league in home runs. I mean, guy hit 50-plus last year. Otani's an interesting one, too. I just wonder about the cloud around him. But you're getting plus 900 on him. Spencer Strider at plus 145 to lead the league in strikeouts, also a good one. And I would really just, again, I'm always pick a theme. I always pick a team that I think is right there. I think the Seattle Mariners at 20-1 to win the World Series, and they have a great opportunity to win the American League, too, at plus 900. The Seattle Mariners are a team that is one bat away. If that bat is Eloy Jimenez, if that bat is Pete Alonso, they're going to make a deal. They have the prospects to do it. You put one more bat to protect Julio Rodriguez, lengthen that lineup. The Seattle Mariners could be a lot to handle because of the depth of that pitching and what they might be able to do with Julio winning MVP.
It is a very good point that the best teams are not done yet with what their rosters will look like when we get actually to the playoffs. That is Joe Pisapia. Again, Fantasy Sports Today does a great, great job, as well as that Fantasy Black Book, because I know a lot of you are going to try and sneak drafts in with about 48 hours to go, so make sure you have it locked in. More Game Time Decisions continues on Sports Grid after this quick break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Baseball Futures Show continues here on Sports Grid. Great stuff from Joe Pisapia. We talked through the Vladdy AL MVP bet with Tom Vecchio. Let's hit the NL MVP bet. 22-1 on Vladdy Jr., 22-1 on Trey Turner of the Philadelphia Phillies in the National League. Trey Turner, before he got to Philly, take his two seasons. One of them fully in L.A., the other was split between Washington and L.A. Let's round up, okay? 312 batting average, 25 homers, 30 steals, 89 RBIs, 104 runs. That is an MVP-ish player. Last year, why was it not as good? Because he struggled for a while as a Philly. On August 3rd, his batting average was .235 for the year. It was a nightmare. He finished with a .266 because what happened over the next 48 games was probably the single hottest player in baseball. Here is what Trey Turner's 48-game stretch to close out the season, the regular season, averaged out over .162 looks like. 342 batting average, 54 home runs, 142 runs scored, 142 RBIs, and 30 steals. That's unanimous MVP. He's not going to do that, okay? But it did continue up, by the way, throughout the playoffs, all right? Where you got him still hitting .347, 3 homers, 5 RBIs in that 17-game window, stole 4 bags. Trey Turner checks the boxes. If you take what he gave this team over those 61 games, playoffs included, he is a runaway MVP. He might not give you that, but Trey Turner this season, giving this team a 320 batting average competing for that batting crown, hitting 30-plus home runs, stealing 40-plus bags, is absolutely on the board. And at 22-1, in a market who has a favorite of Acuna, who might have some injury concerns, and then three guys that all play for the same team, in Ohtani, Freeman, and Betts, who maybe eat up each other a little bit, it creates value everywhere else. Give me 22-1 on Trey Turner. We go to some more season-long wagers in less than a minute right here on Game Time Decisions.